Brahma Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
I offer my humble obeisances to the lotus feet of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and to all the Vaishnavas present here today. This seminar today is called Failure is the Pillar to Success. And what do you think it's going to be about?
Book distribution.
Book distribution. Correct. I just label things and then talk about what I like. Any other ideas? Overcoming obstacles. That sounds like a worthy occupation or a worthy subject matter, doesn't it? Overcome obstacles. What else? What else do you think it'll be about?
Japa.
Definitely be about japa. What else?
Pleasing
Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Yes?
Humility.
Humility. Yep, there's humility in it. Pardon me? Determination, that's a very important part. Kamalini?
I was going to say that.
What he said. Okay.
Not giving up.
Yes, Mataji, you were going to say?
Positive attitude.
Yes. Lacey?
Surrendering.
That's pretty much it, so we can wrap up. Thank you. Well, let's see what it is about, because it's an ongoing, unfolding topic for me. I like this quote from Benjamin Franklin that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I've experienced in my life, especially in circumstances, well, in public, oftentimes, distributing books, I've found that it's better to be gentle with people, control one's senses, not overreact to people who become angry or who are despondent and so forth, because oftentimes the result is inordinate and more than I bargained for and so forth. And so throughout all the scriptures is mentioned about tolerance and preparing oneself for the onslaught of various obstacles here in the material world. So this quotation goes a long way. Even in matters of management, if one comes together with those who are working on a particular project and talks about how to make things better before launching the project and regularly communicates with people involved and so forth, this would be a kind of prevention of future miscommunications, things like that. Don't you think? Mm-hmm. Can you think of any other categories of prevention which will prevent having to take extreme measures to cure something later? Just name two.
Disease,
yeah. That's a classic one. Yeah? Good habits? Yeah, I mean, develop good habits in the beginning and then it'll help you in the end. A proper meant, yes.
Insurance.
You know, don't get me started on insurance. It's a lot of kinds of insurance. Debt, fire, disease, these are three classics that you should take care of them immediately and make sure that you don't have an accident ahead of time. So we should beware of Maya. I think George Harrison wrote this in one of his songs. TK, can you confirm? Can you sing it, the bar? Thank you very much. So that's good advice. Beware of Maya. And Maya presents a package that is perfectly suited for each victim. So there's the way in which she doesn't come necessarily with a big sign and say, I'm here to drag you away and make you go away from the process of devotional service, but subtly and in ways that I think are perfectly suited for my needs she might present. So Prabhupada mentioned that I'm not sufficiently afraid of Maya. So it's okay to be a little afraid. I mean, we don't want to be paralyzed by fear, right? But still, if one has this kind of healthy fear of Maya, this will prevent many different problems. Casualness leads to casualties. I heard Jim Rohn say once, casualness leads to casualties. If I'm very casual, then I'll make mistakes. So this is another astounding statement that I read in one of Prabhupada's books that I like very much, and I want to see if you like it too. This is a regulative principle. This is a direct quote from Prabhupada. This is a regulative principle. Everyone, please repeat.
This is a regulative principle.
One should not fall from his exalted position.
One should not fall from his exalted position.
We'll try it one more time.
This is a regulative principle. One should not fall from his exalted position.
Do you find that interesting?
Yes.
I found it interesting. And in Prabhupada's writings, he mentions that along with doing devotional service strictly, one should also be careful. And we can analyze that, a life of being careful, and what's involved in that. Otherwise, casualness leads to casualties. So here's another quote from Thomas Jefferson, is it? Yes. That the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. So when I heard this quote, I thought of Krishna's statement in the Bhagavad Gita, beginning with Raga Dvesha Vimuktaistu Vishayan Indrayaischaram Apavashar Vidyatma Prasadam Arigashiti. So I said the whole verse from the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And that is that if one is, one must control the senses in order to receive the full mercy of the Lord. And this requires vigilance, because at any moment, as Prahlad Maharaj says in his prayers, we can be dragged away. It comes from the word vigil, which means awake. So Prabhupada says, keeping careful watch for, this is the definition of vigilance, keeping careful watch for possible danger or difficulties. So how Maya sneaks in? You know, we do a lot of door-to-door book distribution. Gotcha. And one time I was going door-to-door, and I saw a couple go in their apartment, so I knew they were in there. And I knocked on the door, and they tried to be quiet, so I knocked again. And then they said something, and I noticed that an accent. Hispanic accent, so I said something in Spanish, and then there was a long pause, and then they said something in Spanish back, and then I said something in Spanish back, and then all of a sudden they opened the door. Big mistake. And then I read, Prabhupada writes about how Maya is silver-tongued, and she can talk her way in. So we've noticed sometimes, you know, people, I have a friend actually, excuse me, who had a really good vacuum cleaner. And then he met a man going door to door selling even better vacuum cleaners, according to what he said. And when his wife got home, she found out they had two vacuum cleaners. And one was much better than the other, according to him. And it was just because he opened the door and started listening, and the salesperson was silver-tongued. Was able to talk his way in and convince him that he needed another vacuum cleaner. So Maya is expert like this. So one of the main points is keep the door closed. Don't open the door to Maya. And here are a few ideas about what opens the door for Maya. First is pride. Pride opens the door. And then comes laxity. And laxity invites Maya in. And finally, justification invites her to stay as a permanent guest in one's home. So did you get those three? Number one is?
Pride.
Pride? Next is?
Laxity.
Okay, cool. All right, come on in. It's no big deal. And number three?
Justification.
What does that do? Yeah, you can live here. She'll stay there permanently as long as I continue to justify whatever kind of, well, nonsense that I want to do. So, attitude is everything. Has anybody heard this before?
Yeah.
Yeah? Have you heard it in Prabhupada's writings? He writes in the Nectar of Instruction that advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. So, here are some risky attitudes. One is, I'm advanced. That's risky. Another is, I'm liberated. You can read them. So let's see, here we have, I am advanced. So it's easy in comparison to others, one might think I have an advanced position, and then lose one's ability to be humble, lose one's humility. And if one thinks I'm liberated, then one may take liberties to cut corners and so forth. This is definitely a doorway through which Maya can enter. That I think that I'm already liberated. What are some of the ways I might think I'm already liberated because blank?
I know more than the next person.
I'm liberated because I chant 16 rounds. Yes? Because I've been in Krishna consciousness for a long time. Radhanath Swami told us recently that Jamuna Devi Dasi, our god sister who passed away recently, was very concerned about the mood of entitlement, thinking that I'm entitled to something. She thought it was a danger for our movement. But I think especially it's a danger for myself if I think I'm entitled. And I can actually check that mentality and look and see, do I feel like I'm entitled to certain things? And I'm liberated because I chant 16 rounds. I'm liberated because I'm in ISKCON. I'm liberated because...
I'm a follower of Srila Prabhupada.
Because what?
I'm a follower of Srila Prabhupada.
I'm a follower of Srila Prabhupada. Yes.
I distribute books.
Because I distribute books. So as soon as I think like this, that I'm liberated, I'm independent, I can do as I like, then I can make a mistake and I'll become victimized by Maya. By taking that liberty. So, to close the door on Maya, lock the door. Here's some safe attitudes. One is, I'm not liberated. And Prabhupada mentions this in his purports. He says that as soon as I think I'm liberated and then I take these liberties, which are risky, then I'll fall. So it's better to keep this idea that I'm not liberated. And here's another one. I'm never above chastisement. Do you all feel like that? Or do you like to get chastised? Is it a statement that good advice, I'll read it for you because it's hard to see, is not often served in our favorite flavor. But we will notice in the Shastra that advanced devotees like to be chastised, because in that moment when one's being chastised and thereafter, one feels a deep sense of adjustment, readjustment to one's humble position, and is able to actually chant deeply. Ever experienced that? Anyone here ever get chastised and feel better for it afterwards? You want to talk about it? Okay, well, let's give the microphone because this could get really interesting. Who would like to volunteer? Oh, I added too much. Anyone here been chastised? I'll just start over. Yes or yes? Yes, okay, over here on this side of the room. Sorry, we're all among friends here.
I will. Yeah, it often helps me to understand what I'm doing in relation to others and how I can better serve them when after I hear feedback.
Yeah, but did you ever get chastised?
Yeah, so if someone says you shouldn't have done...
No, that's really general. I'm talking about specific. Can you remember a specific incident when someone said something to you that maybe...
Was a little hard for me to deal with.
Yeah, but then it helped you later. That would be ideal.
Yeah, yeah, like my brother, maybe he's like, we need to start labeling the dishes because you never wash yours, you know, and so that we know whose it is. And then I would have said maybe there's, you know, better way to do it, but in the long run, I actually started washing my dishes. And I actually saw how it looked a lot cleaner, and I kind of appreciated it more. And also, I just wanted to, you know, serve him. I wanted to reciprocate. I didn't, you know, I really, it's important, you know, for relationship, you know, give that kind of reciprocation.
That's really
so
good feedback. Yeah.
That really helped me. And of course, I give him my feedback and say I would like you to maybe say it in this way. So I. Goes both ways.
Actually, a few years ago, I had the benefit of driving with our mystery guest back to the airport, and he was giving me some instructions about management. One of the things he said was that in his corporation, when people join as an employee, he asks them, "How do you like your correction? How do you like to take it? Do you like it direct, or do you need it really, you know, in a subtle way?" But it was interesting, creative, how your brother corrected you or gave you some instruction in such a subtle way and that you took it. That was very nice. Thank you. Let's give him a hand. Very helpful. Okay, let's have a couple more because these are really nice. Keshava's over here.
I was in a kirtan. And I was playing Murdanga, and there was one of our senior spiritual masters in the movement, and I got away from myself. I don't know what I was doing wrong, but suddenly he stopped the whole entire kirtan in front of about 70 people and just said, "Can you stop doing that?" And I had this look like I had just been hit by a car. I was like totally flattened, and even though I felt crushed, devotees later on said, "Wow, that was so merciful. You got chastised like that." And as I kind of got over the false ego, I realized, yeah, you know, I need to be more aware. I need to be, you know, aware of my circumstances. And it became a lesson that I started to adapt more later.
Nice. That was really powerful. I just add to that, yeah, please go ahead. Yeah. That in Chicago in 1975, there was a big, Prabhupada was there, and there was a big kirtan going on. And the devotee who was leading the kirtan would stop singing and then keep the kirtan going. It was a style that was developing at the time, where it stopped chanting and then and everyone's like, and Prabhupada looked out and he stopped the whole kirtan, and he gave it to somebody else to lead, like that. So these things are going on. Yes, you had a point, Mataji, in the middle.
This is when I was like in early days of Krishna consciousness. Once I was with His Holiness Sridhar Swami, and he was telling that we should go out and do book distribution and preach. And one thing he told me that you should also help in collecting funds. So I told, if you tell me to wash vessels, do menial services, it's okay. But when it comes to looking for funds, like asking, I feel like begging business, and I don't think I can manage to do that. So he said, "Why can't you do that?" So I said, "I'm so fallen," and I started talking in that language that I'm so fallen and I cannot do anything, I cannot preach anything, and I cannot expect anything in return. So Maharaj just looked at me and he said, "You are a rascal. You are saying," he said, "you are saying you are humble, like you are nothing, but you think a lot of for yourself, and that's why it's not easy for you to go and beg. So you should go and do fundraising now for us." So after that, it took me almost at least 2 or 3 years till I really took it to my heart and I said, "To please His Holiness Sridhar Swami, I must do this service." But yeah, that was very hard that day to accept.
Very nice, very nice. Yeah. Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar of Devotion about Lal Babu. And actually there's a Lal Babu temple that you'll find in Vrindavan right next to the Govinda Bazaar. And he was a big businessman. And then one day he became overwhelmed. Actually, it's mentioned by one of our acharyas how he had heard a woman saying, "Now's the time to move on." And he took that as a direct instruction to himself that he should get on with his devotional service. So he became detached from his business and he went door to door begging to build this temple out of humility. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did a similar thing. And this, it brings up a nice point, because when we go out to do these projects, to meet people, I always say, go with the basic understanding that it's for self-purification first, because it is very powerful. Thank you. Who's next? Yes, chastisement for 10 points.
Once I was traveling with one of our senior sannyasis in South Africa in 2005-2006. And actually I didn't realize what it means to serve senior devotees because of lack of training. So once it was His Holiness Advaita Swami Maharaj, I was his servant. I was Rath Yatra day. So in Durban, Rath Yatra goes for 3 days. It's very intense. You might think festival of inspiration is very intense, but unless you have gone to South Africa, Durban Rath Yatra, you don't know what could be. It's very, very, very intense. So some devotee offered a cookies to His Holiness Advaita Swami. As I was his personal servant, then I received the cookies on behalf of him. And Maharaj acknowledged that, and the next day, normally the etiquette is that I should go and give the cookies to him. I kept the cookies on his in the kitchen because I was also cooking for him. So next morning, he was asking, "Where are the cookies, Mr. Das?" So, have you eaten my cookies? I said, "No, Maharaj." So why did not those cookies to me? They gave it to me, not to you. So as a servant, it's your duty to serve and pay full attention and take care of your master and not to just, you know, take it for granted. And it was a bit of experience. I'll not give the full details. I'll just leave it there. Then I actually realized after some years, 6-7 years, I actually realized service to senior Vaishnavas, advanced devotees, is a great opportunity. And because of that chastisement, after 7-8 years, I realized actually it helped me a lot when I approach senior devotees, I try to render some service, I try to give full attention and try to do it with care as much as I can. And I thought that was very, very difficult that time, but after 7-8 years, I came to realization that we should give full attention as a chant.
So you got the medicine, and it acted very powerfully even 7 years later, right? Yes. Let's please give him a hand. Okay, so we're going to move on from chastisement, but keep a bookmark there, because this is a very important point. We'll find that even Advaita Acharya, when he was attended by Kamalakanta Vishwas, his personal servant, who sent a letter to the king saying that there was a debt owed by Advaita Acharya, and somehow or other Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to see that letter. And then he chastised Kamalakanta Vishwas. On one hand, you say that Advaita Acharya is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God, and on the other side you say that he has a debt. So he said, you are a low-class person, you can't come here anymore. And he banned him from coming into his association. And then Advaita Acharya complained. He said, why you, Kamalakanta, are getting so much mercy? And then he complained to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you show him so much favor by chastising him, but you don't chastise me like that. And in fact, he invented a way later to become chastised by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He used to give Bhagavad Gita class, did Advaita Acharya, every evening, even before the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because of frustration from not being chastised, he decided one night to begin a class on the Yoga Vishishta, which advocates impersonalism and jnana above bhakti. And devotees came running to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, Advaita Acharya is preaching Mayavad philosophy right at his house, in his class. And Mahaprabhu came charging to the house of Advaita Acharya and started listening. And Advaita Acharya was expounding that jnana is higher than bhakti. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to him and said, which is higher, jnana or bhakti? And Advaita Acharya said, Gyan, you can't even see bhakti without Gyan. The eyes are Gyan. And so Mahaprabhu grabbed him from his Vyasa sign, pulled him off, and began beating him. And Sita Thakurani, the wife of Advaita Acharya, came running out and said, no, he's an old man, spare him. But Mahaprabhu was relentless, Gyan or bhakti, and he was beating him. He said, you called me to come down to this material world, and now you're preaching Mayavad philosophy. And then Advaita Acharya began to smile. And after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped, Advaita Acharya got up and began to dance in ecstasy. He said, now everyone can see who is the master and who is the servant. And so this mood of service is instilled in, and the devotee is prevalent, is the basis of our devotional service, of our devotional practice. And those who have relished that taste, they're eager for correction and chastisement, because, and it can come from anywhere. It doesn't have to come from a senior devotee. One can observe that it's coming from one's environment. One can get it from the most unlikely places. Sometimes it happens on Sankirtan. People will say something, and if we're in the proper mood, we can take that as a correction. That was meant for me. Krishna's speaking to me through this person and so forth. As in the Bhagavatam, Tate Anukampam Susumikshamanu Bhujane Ivatmakritam Vipakam. Lord Brahma says that we should realize that the environment is friendly. Actually, everything's trying to help us to advance in devotional service if we take it like that. So, here's another. I remember that we're on attitudes that are helpful, right? So, I remember where I came from. There's a saying that every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Have you heard that before? Every saint has a past, every sinner has a future. So remembering that, and Prabhupada mentions this in one of his purports, everyone should remember where they came from and how he or she was saved by the spiritual master to come to the exalted position of devotional service. And once Prabhupada mentioned that, and this was during a time when the devotees went to India for the first time, and in Navadvip and in other cities like Surat, people were coming out of their houses and they were actually worshiping the ground on which the devotees were walking. They were taking the dust after the kirtan party went by and smearing their bodies with it and so forth. And Prabhupada had mentioned that because you're following the four regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds, then you become worshipable all over the world. It's actually an empowered set of disciplines to follow four regulative principles and to chant 16 rounds minimum every day. It's not ordinary. It comes, the power to do so comes from above. So don't take it lightly. There's one thing, don't take things for granted. There's so many things that we can take for granted in life, isn't it? I sometimes, when I go overseas to other countries, and we try to, well, we don't have freedom to, for instance, go out on the street and talk to people about Krishna. When we went to Vietnam, as soon as we got off in the airport, the devotees there told us, be really careful because you're being watched. And while we were there, they said, you know, we couldn't go around and distribute books because it was illegal and we could be taken to the police station right away. So when I came back to America, I was thinking how much I take for granted here. It's a big free country, unlimitedly open to everybody for preaching. Canada pretty much too. Although I don't know if you have Freedom of Speech Act in your... Yeah? Something similar. Our friends to the north. So, don't take it for granted. Remember where I came from, what position I was in before, because it can be taken away if I take it for granted. And other, also that everything belongs to Krishna. Don't become possessive and hold on to material desires. Maintaining material desires is one of the offenses in devotional service. And it takes a lot of work to maintain material desires, just like it takes a lot of work to maintain a garden or anything else. And if we take this verse, Isa Vasamidam Sarvam, Yat Kincha Jagat Yam Jagat, everything animate or inanimate within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. Just that can save us from so much anxiety and problem and thinking that I'm the controller. I once met a priest when I was out preaching, and we had a long conversation, and afterwards he said, you know, I can tell you that after so many years, I've learned two things for sure. And I said, what's that? He said, one is, there is a God, and the other is, I'm not him. And that's a good starting place for devotional service and a good attitude to come back to. Remember, you're not the Ishwar. It's a really difficult job. And this is one Prabhupada writes, or spoke in a lecture that, remember, I'm the servant's servant, 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 a million times removed. Let's try this one.
I'm the servant's servant, a million times removed.
Yeah, it feels good, doesn't it? Just to be the servant of the servant, it is a very safe thing to do. I wear Trinada Pisunice Na as a garland around my neck. This is a prescription, actually, that we can take, and it's given in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Kaviraj Goswami. Everyone knows the verse from the Sri Shikshashtakam? We say it all the time, right? Do we take it for granted? It's possible to, right? We could go to the morning program, for instance, and go through the morning program and Shikshaki Cheto Darbanamardanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam and many other prayers I might say and not think about. But what about this verse? What if I were to take this verse and actually do what Kaviraj Goswami recommends, and that is to hang it around my neck like a garland? So there are jewels in this verse. What are the jewels? Number one is, be as low as the grass. What are a couple more? Tolerant as a
tree.
Did anybody actually take time off and go sit under a tree? Did you call in sick and say, I'm going to go sit under a tree and observe how tolerant it is? No? Okay, homework. Call your boss, if you work, and say, look, I'm not coming in because I'm going to go sit under a tree. And I'm going to notice, I'm going to learn from the tree what tolerance is. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing this from the environment. He was saying, look at the tree. Observe the tree. See how tolerant the tree is. That's a jewel. What's another one? Someone say it in a loud, very convinced voice. Be devoid of all sense of false prestige. Anybody practicing that? Oh, seriously, a real question. Do you think about it very much? Because it's something recommended. And then what's another one? Offer all respects to others.
Not expecting.
And don't expect anything in return, right? So how many did we have? Like the grass, taller than the tree. That's three. Okay, so we got five. Five jewels in this. So another homework. You have to get a thread to put the jewels on and put it around your neck. So you could stop at the hobby store on the way home. Michael's or what do they have around here for string? Joanne's, the yarn barn. Get yourself some string or wire and then string these around. You have to do it yourself. You have to put these on the string and actually put it around your neck. Try it. So this is a way in which one can become fortified from Maya coming in, wearing this around one's neck. And fortification is a way to strengthen oneself. Now, Prabhupada describes our sojourn in Krishna consciousness to be like a battle. It's a war. He said we're declaring war against Maya. So some of these are military terms, and there are casualties in the war and so forth. So we have to fortify ourselves. Sadhana should be strict, serious, and sincere. These are three words that Prabhupada uses in various places, but I've put them all together in one place here. But strict, serious, and sincere sadhana protects one from fall down in Maya. And Prabhupada mentions also to keep your eyes trained to spot offenses. But I might add, in myself, not in others. Unless that's your duty. And then you have to learn to spot them and then point them out in ways that are acceptable, that people can assimilate. Kalakanta Prabhu mentioned last year, the year before, that in his organization, he looks for places where there are discrepancies, and then he writes them down. And then later on, he'll have a gathering of the devotees, and he presents in a general way so everyone can assimilate it, instead of picking out one person. And there's a way in which one can train one's eyes to see one's own offenses and be careful to alleviate them. This is an attitude that protects against Maya. And here are some very strong defenses. One is, I read recently in the Bhagavad Gita commentary, both by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Baladev Vidyabhusan, that the way to conquer lust is through rasa, the only way. And then they quote from the Bhagavad Gita saying, param drishta nivartate, one has to have a higher taste to overcome the lower taste in life. So taste, just like there are many ways to get taste in devotional service, one way is by singing bhajans. Do you all like to sing bhajans? Yeah. We notice that bhajans have a special power to them, written by the great acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur, that sometimes devotees can't get them out of their heads after they hear them for some time. Do you have that problem?
Yes.
Which bhajan stuck in your head? Yes?
Bhajahuremana.
Bhajahuremana. She was going to say that. She might be next to your room and heard it also. Yes? Which one? Nrsimha prayer is stuck in you. You can't stop singing them, right? Anyone else? Shuddha Bhakata Charani Nubhajana Anukula. Yes?
Damodara
Ashtakam. Damodara Ashtakam. Yeah, that's one that can bring out heavy emotions too, right? Powerful. Yes? Gai Goda Madhushvare Nam Gai Goda Madhushvare Nam Gai Goda Madhushvare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Nam Gai Madhushvare,
Madhushvare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Ya
Gaurav
Madhushvare Nanda, yes.
Krishna Deva
Bhavantam Bande. Krishna Deva Bhavantam Bande. Krishna Deva Bhavantam Bande. Krishna Deva Bhavantam Bande. Yeah, that's by Jiva Goswami, right? Sanatan Rupa Goswami. Very, very penetrating. The first time I heard it, I couldn't stop singing. And the person warned me, too. He said, your mind's going to take off when you hear this. And it did. I was going around, Krishna Deva Bhava. And that's what you want. You have to have that. You know, the Bhav has to get in. This is taste. You know, once Prabhupada said at a Bhagavatam class, he said, you know, he looked out at the audience, the devotees, and he was really appreciating, you know, all these young people that just dropped everything and came and crowded into the ashrams, you know, just sleeping on the floor and waking up at 3 a.m. and coming to the class every day, dancing in ecstasy. And Prabhupada was looking out and he said, you know, I say practically the same thing every day and you come over and over again with such enthusiasm. He said, this is Ruchi. This is Ruchi. You know, when you can hear Dehi no sminyata dehe, homaram yavadam jada, tata deham paraprati, tirastatra namuyati, over and over again, and appreciate it more and more, you're getting some taste. Getting some taste. So there's so many ways to get taste, and we have to try them. There are ashtakams we can sing that have such meter that they get into one's heart and soul. I'm rooming with Javita Prabhu. So I hear him. He's always walking around singing. And in the shower and everywhere, he's like, blah, blah, blah. You know, the nectar's coming out. It's a taste. This protects us from wanting to go to Home Depot, for instance. I hate Home Depot. I can't stand it because I'd rather be home, you know, singing or doing something else. There's a discordance to the material world after we feel the harmony of these bhajans. Example, Rath Yatra in Los Angeles. Now, this is an interesting point because in the material world, there are levels, starting with, we know, Goloka namni nijadamni tale tatasya devi mahesha haridama sukheshteshu te te prabhavin jayavihitashtagena govindamari purusham. Govindamari purusham. To get taste, you gotta really jump into Govindamari Purusham. So he describes how lowest of all is Devi Dham. Hate to break it, but that's where we are now. Above Devi Dham is Mahesh Dham, the abode of Mahesh. Above Mahesh Dham is Hari Dham, the abode of Hari. And above Hari Dham is
Goloka.
In between the material and the spiritual world, there's the Viraja River. This is the demarcation point. And now, interesting, at the Rath Yatra in Los Angeles, you have engagement at the temple for at least a week before you go to the Rath Yatra. And you can stay engaged in cooking and hearing and chanting and setting up and getting ready. And then you go to the Rath Yatra, you're in the parade, then you're there engaged. And then when you have to leave, where do you have to go from there, TK? To get back to your car, what do you have to cross?
Oh, yeah.
The Viraja, right? Yeah. There's this strip called Venice Boardwalk. And it is the lowest vibration in the universe. And you go from the Rathiatra across the Venice boardwalk, and the vibration changes immediately, and you can feel it. It's visceral. Your cells and your body start changing, and everything is such a difference. So you can feel these differences, even in the Holy Dham. If you go to Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu named out of the five places, out of the 64 items of devotional service, there are five most important activities of devotional service, and one is cultivating an attachment to the Dham, living in the Dham. And he said, even if you don't live in the Dham, you should feel separation for the Dham. You should think about the Dham, and so forth. And if you go there and you spend time walking around the Dham, just appreciating it, it's just simple, spontaneous appreciation. You don't have to do anything really intellectual. There's a vibration there that if you're quiet enough and you're not offensive, that you can, it gets in you. And when you leave, and you leave Vrindavan Dham, and you leave the vortex, you know when you crossed it. And you go, I'm getting close to Delhi. And if you go to Jayapur, in Jayapur, they'll still say, Radhe, Radhe. But when you get to Delhi, and you look at the guy, it's like, Radhe, Radhe? And he's like, no Radhe, Radhe. No more Radhe, Radhe for you. Where's your passport? And you can feel the difference. This is Ruchi. You have to get Ruchi. This taste actually is what protects us. Rasavarjam rasopyasya. Have to get the higher taste. It's all available through these various practices of devotional service, which you mentioned from the bhajan about the from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who names all the devotional activities. And then we have, how long does this go for anyway? Till six? Till seven? Six. Let's take a vote. 6:30, okay. And then shelter. It feels really good to take shelter, and we need shelter at every moment. Samasita ye padapalava plavam, hat padam punya yasho marare, bavam buddhir vatsa padam param padam, padam padam yagvi padam natesham. This beautiful verse from the Bhagavatam says that Krishna is the shelter of the whole universe. He's the killer of the Mura demon, who had how many heads? Five. And the material world's danger at every step. Padam padam yad viparam. Any minute, it can be, you can move out from underneath our feet. We can get a phone call that ruins everything. And I saw in Vrindavan one day, I was walking along the Govardhan Parikram path, just chanting. I was by myself, and I saw this family come along on a flatbed rickshaw. And have you seen those? And so the man of the family was driving the rickshaw, and the rest of the family, the three kids and the wife, were sitting on the flatbed, and there was the rickshaw driver, and he was running behind. And they were all laughing. Ha ha ha, ho ho ho, ha ha ha, ho ho ho, ha ha ha, ho ho ho. And as they went by, I noticed that it was a little bit disturbing, because it was like, the mood wasn't quite right. And then suddenly, I heard it all stop. I was chanting, so I had my head down, and I heard all that laughing stop. And then as I walked past, I noticed that they had gone over the edge. There's an embankment. They weren't killed or anything like that, but it was very inconvenient. It capsized, and they went into the sticker bushes, and then they were wailing and crying. And I just saw that in a flash, that this is the epitome of the material world. One second I think everything fine, I have a full tank of gas, I got lots of money in the bank, and a full refrigerator, and life is good. And then one second later, I get a phone call, and it's all finished. So we need shelter. So shelter is a defense against Maya, and relationships are so important. To have relationships with devotees, cultivate them, loving exchanges, and take shelter by deeply talking and revealing one's mind is protects one from Maya. And then guidance. Devamrita Swami says Vaishnavism means guidance. Vaishnavism means guidance. What do you think of that? Do you like it?
Yeah.
What do you like about it?
You
don't have to rely on yourself. Nice point. What else do you like about it? Yes? Here comes your microphone.
You're constantly making progress because you're under guidance, higher guidance.
Okay, thank you. Why do you like the idea of guidance? I agree. Okay, go ahead.
I'm just going to say that you don't have to drive around lost for so long. It's like stopping and asking.
Oh, that's a nice point.
You're stopping and asking.
Yeah, if you take guidance, then very quickly you can advance in any discipline, but especially devotional service. Up here you had? Mataji, up here she has. These are, remember, attitudes and defenses. This is how to fortify against Maya. Yes?
You always commit mistakes.
You always commit mistakes? So you need guidance.
Yeah.
Okay. And so mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ride Hamadyam Sulabam Sudulabam Plavam Sukalpam Guru Karnadaram, that the human body is like a boat, and it will ply us across the ocean of material existence, but what do you need on the boat?
A captain.
You gotta have a captain. So captain means somebody who's been across a bunch of times and knows that red skies at night, sailors delight, red skies in the morning, sailors take warning. He's been through a lot of things, has some experience, and can pass it on to us so we avoid all these things. Last one.
When we know that we are under guidance, we take no tension on our own, so life becomes free of tension.
I heard Prabhupada mention this recently in a lecture, where he said that when you surrender yourself, put yourself under the guidance of Krishna, the spiritual master, then you're not responsible anymore. So it's a great relief, actually. In fact, Prabhupada said, then it's Krishna's problem. You're working on it, but you're an employee. It's not like you own it. Really nice points. Should we go a little further? Okay. Stay balanced and nourished. So sometimes it's just described as the tree of life, and the roots mean you have very clear philosophical underpinnings. And the trunk means your emotional life, and you have strong relationships, people you can rely on and reveal your mind to and so forth. And then the top of the tree, the fruits that come, you should be generous and give them out as much as possible, because by giving, one grows. And I was just reading in section of the Bhagavatam about Gajendra. Gajendra had a good life and was very happy, and suddenly all that ended when a crocodile caught his leg and began to pull him under in the water, and he fought for 100 celestial years. And then Prabhupada mentions in his purports that we also are fighting against the crocodile of Maya. Do you ever feel that? Or is it just me? He gets a hold and starts pulling, and it's very difficult. So interestingly, in his purport, Prabhupada says, he mentions these three things one should have to be fortified against Maya. First, he says that one should feel that whatever position one is in life, one is getting stronger, not weaker. And then he says one should have physical strength, enthusiasm, and sensual power. And that comes in relationship to the elephant Gajendra, because he's more powerful than a crocodile on the land, but in the water, crocodile wins. So you have to be in a place where you can fight Maya with your full strength and not be drained. And he mentions these things, physical strength. Prabhupada took good care of his physical body. Massaged twice a day. He walked vigorously every morning. He was very careful about what he ate and so forth. And so these are also important. If we become run down and sensually weak, we can become drained and victimized by Maya. And here's another point called manana, which means we need to take time to reflect. Like, you know, in academics, there's a way in which people take a sabbatical. It means they go away for some time from the work that they're doing, and they look back on it and they say, how am I doing? And they deliberate on it. They assimilate what they've already gotten. And so these taking time during each week to sit down and think, what happened this week? Take time during each day, even if it's just a few minutes, to say, how did the day go? What really happened? Every year, can you take time to reflect and think, how am I actually doing? My wife, Neera Akula Devi Dasi, is sitting in the front row here, and I have been married for, how long is it? I'm going to guess, 28 years. Is that correct? Pretty close. Anyways, one thing we do every year is we take time at the end of the year to go away. We just go away from everything and we take a retreat. And, you know, like 5 days is ideal. And then we just take time to write down our goals and talk and say, how's it really going? Because in the fast-moving life that most of us have, it's hard to really go beneath the surface, even if you're married to somebody, you're in the same house, you might not have the time to actually penetrate the superficial layers of how are you doing, I'm doing okay, how are you doing, I'm okay, all right, ready, go, you know, and you go back out, let's do it again, and come back tonight, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. And months can go by, years can go by, decades can go by, a lifetime can go by, with no actual inspection or introspection or reflection, deliberation, assimilation. So take time. This helps to fortify us. And actually, there's a story of a man trying to cut down a tree, and an expert woodsman comes by and says, you know, you need to sharpen that saw. And the guy says, I don't have time. I don't have time. So take the time to assimilate and look deeply within. So we can take lessons. One is from Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj, these are three descriptions of Bharat Maharaj's fall down from devotional service. And before I mention them, I'll say that in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami says that Bharat Maharaj and others like Sobari Muni had shown how to fall down for the benefit of the rest of us. And so Prabhupada says it was due to foolishness, it was due to misplaced compassion, and willful neglect of sadhana. Three things. And there's Ajamil. And Ajamil came in contact with a scene of sense gratification that went into his heart. And because he was weak in heart, he took up bad association and then he fell down from his exalted position. And then there's Indra. I'm going over these quickly because there's tomorrow also, and I'm going to go into them in more detail. But Indra fell down because of pride, and he was sitting in his assembly with all his minions, and they were worshiping him. And when his spiritual master came into the room, Indra said, meh. He didn't get up. He didn't offer any respect. And his spiritual master could tell the second he walked in the room that Indra is overcome with this kind of pride from being worshipped. And he turned around and walked out, and Indra fell down from his exalted position. And the demigods lost everything because of offending their spiritual master. So these are a study. They are meant for us to look at very carefully. If you notice in the Bhagavatam, there are this anatomy of a fall down. There are very specific reasons for it that one can study and become acquainted with and then fortify oneself. And you'll see many, many stories besides these that one can go into. Here's Sobari Muni, who made an offense to Garuda, and later on, just by seeing some fish who were copulating in the water, then he gave up his yoga practice and ran off and got married. So, tomorrow we're going to start up with how to make a comeback. If one falls down and in any way, or makes a slip, fall down is kind of a heavy term, isn't it? Should we change that? To what? Bloop. Stumble. Any more euphemisms? Okay, so, yeah, there's a way in which it's very important to know how to come back from a slip in devotional service or from a fall down, for any indiscretion in devotional service. And Krishna wants us to do that. He wants us to make a comeback. And he's all for the comeback. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhag. Sadureva samantabhya samyad devasito hisa. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, everyone should notice that the person's on the path, and it doesn't matter what he did. It doesn't matter what she did. If they keep going, they're saintly. They'll come back. And devotional service is so powerful, we'll talk about tomorrow, that there's no prayaschitta for devotional service. You simply keep going. Supada mulam bhajata priyasya tatanya bhavasya hare priyasya vikarma yach chotpatitam katanchit tunoti sarvam hriti sannivishta. Karbhajana Muni says that because the devotee has the right attitude, because he or she in his or her heart feels that my primary duty in life is to surrender to Krishna. That's the bhava of a devotee. I'm a servant of Krishna. And even if he or she can't do it yet, but has this feeling that that's my primary duty in life and goes on trying, then even if there's a slip, even if there's a big mistake, vikarma yach chotpatitam katanchit, somehow or other one falls into vikarma. Dhunoti sarvam hriti sannivishta, because Krishna has entered the heart of that person, he'll rectify it if you just keep going. And don't give up. Don't give up devotional service. And when we break a bone, which I don't recommend, because I've tried it, the bone grows back in the point where it's broken and properly set again, 8 times stronger than it was before. True? Some nurses in here? Doctors? Can I get a... Doctors, nurses, help me out on this? Yes? Paramedics? Boy Scouts? Anybody? Yes, this is a fact. It's a medical fact. Your bone grows back 8 times stronger in the point it was broken. The body, nature has this reaction. Okay, it broke here. Let's fix it 8 times, make it 8 times stronger than it was before. And similarly, in devotional service, those who continue in their practice of devotional service, despite slips, despite falls, despite any kind of indiscretion, they keep on going. They become nourished in a very powerful way. Just like when you're at home and you take all the scraps that are useless, seemingly, from your vegetable cuttings. And where do you put them?
Compost.
Let's hear it with one loud, self-sustaining farm projecting voice. You put it in the?
Compost.
Let's hear it one more time so the people next door think we're talking about farming in here. Ready?
Compost.
And when you walk out of here and somebody grabs you by the arm and says, what was that guy talking about? You'll say?
Compost.
Yeah, compost. You take the scraps, you put them in the box, and a while later they become so valuable to the whole garden. So valuable to the whole garden. And so all these missteps and the so-called mistakes that we go through, they become the most nourishing aspect of our life when we take them and we put them in the right place and let them incubate. We think about them, we distill them, we talk it over with our loved ones, and we say, what happened? And we admit it, we openly talk about what happened to me. We become so strong, we go where we want, we come to the point where we want to be, and that is that we're trying to please Krishna. We're not worried about drinking water underwater on a fast day. I'm fasting all day for the sake of the public. But when I go take a bath in the Ganges, I dunk my head under and gong, 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 gong. Krishna can see that. But one who has slipped and picked him or herself up again, one who has rectified the situation, one has openly admitted one's mistakes and one's indiscretions, and humbly comes back, that person becomes stronger than before, more respected than before, has more valuable things to offer to others than ever before. So this is the failures, the pillars of success that Srila Prabhupada speaks about in many places, encourages us to go on with devotional service in all circumstances, season after season, and in the end, we will come to the stage where, as he told a godbrother of mine very early on in devotional service, after he had taken initiation, he went to Prabhupada sometime later and he said, "Prabhupada, I'm so sorry, I can't follow these principles." And Prabhupada said to him, "One day you will walk." That's all he said. "One day you will walk." And today, that devotee is so strong that he's helping other people get up and walk. Because he just kept going in devotional service, and Prabhupada knew what to say, because he could understand that if one goes on with the process of devotional service, in spite of any misstep, one will come to maturity in devotional service. Om Tat Sat. Now we have 10 more minutes, so please don't go away. Because we have one more bhajan to sing. If it's okay. Maybe? I'm not convinced. Oh, all right. North America means all of America, all of Canada. The leaders of this continent have come together recently, at the beginning of the year, and set goals for the year to distribute at least 1,500 sets of Srimad Bhagavatams and at least 500 sets of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and to increase overall the remittance to the BBT another 10% this year. Over the last 2 years, we increased 26.5% and 28% respectively, and we're going for another 10% this year. We're performing at the highest level as far as the North American BBT goes that we have in history, and there's a lot more to go. So we have come together as one team in North America. We're all working together for this goal. And to that end, we're distributing thousands of these wristbands that say, "Get set." Get set. Get ready, go. And it also says, "Get the 10%. So if you like, we brought some of these wristbands. You can wear these as a sign of solidarity. And also, you might want to try distributing sets of Bhagavatams and Chaitanya Charitamritas, because Prabhupada brought those with him when he came here to America, and he very much wanted to distribute them. And it's as easy as falling off a log. And that's easy. All you have to do is get them and show them to people wherever you go and mention the Bhagavatam and tell the compelling story of Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadev Goswami, and people will buy them. And Silicon Valley, where I live, the devotees recently, just before Gaur Purnima, distributed 192 full sets of Sri Chaitanya Charitamritas in the month before Gaur Purnima. 60 of those were done door to door. Knock, knock, knock. "Hi, look what we have. Sri Chaitanya Charitamritas." And all kinds of people are buying them. Old people, young people, Muslims, Chinese, Indians, everyone. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And full sets of Bhagavatams going door to door also. So all over the country, there's this going on. So get sets, distribute sets, and get these wristbands, and you tell everybody else about it. Our first goal for the year is to have everyone buy their sets they intend to distribute by June 26th of this year, which is the centennial disappearance day of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Let's hear it for the Thakur. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So please get sets, get your wristband. I'll just pass them out right over here for anyone who wants one. And Vrindavan Prabhu has some special announcements to bring you right now. And thank you very much.
My obeisances. Vancha Kalpadirivasha, Tripasinabe, Vacha, Patitanam, Pavanibyo, Vaishnabe, Bhyo Namo Namaha. We'll see you tomorrow for part two. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Vaishnavika with a big hand.
Nachari Armarman. Nachari Armarman. Nachari Armarman.